Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Greetings, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. Happy Halloween. You're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And I got some goodies for you today. So on deck today, we have for this Halloween edition, The Witching Season, Strange Events, and Charmed, the reboot 2018 version. Yes, folks, Charmed is back. And I got some things to say about it. Really do. So let's get to it. Where do I start on this Halloween day, All Hallows Eve? Oh, yeah. Let's see. So let's go with let's go with The Witching Season. Yeah, we'll start with that. Sure. So I discovered this series on Amazon Prime. I guess it was released earlier this year in February. So I don't know how I missed it. And I got to tell you, I like it. I like the intro. It's really just kind of dry and creepy. I mean, it's they found a way to... the intro is not over the top or nothing. Like, you see Halloween signs, like on a tree and... you'll see a goblin, like a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern, like on the porch, and it's all just kind of dry and quiet, but it's done in such a way that when you watch this intro, you're just like, oh, this is creepy. I gotta check this out. Well, you know what? This is kind of scary. And then the guy who's doing the score, his name is Slasher Dave. I pray that I get a chance to meet this guy one day. He calls himself Slasher Dave. I love that. That's the guy who's doing the score for the series. I kid you not. I think that's so cool. I love that. So this is a series. It's a horror series. It says this spine-tingling anthology of horror and suspense delivers original tales of terror that capture the spirit of the Halloween season. Yeah, so like one of the opening scenes for the intro was like this witch, like a witch you get from the store that's, she's all colored up. I mean, it's like an illustration that's cut out, kind of like the cutouts you have for like Thanksgiving celebrations that you put on the table on the wall. So it's this witch and she's on the side of this tree. And she's just looking devilishly, and there's like an orange crescent moon on top of her head, on top of her hat. And when you just see that, when you see the way they open up the intro, it's very reminiscent to me of the Halloween movies and how they're shot, just the angles and the cinematography. So I like that. Yeah, it caught my attention. So let me tell you, I like horror films when they're good. My biggest pet peeve with horror films is when there's no common sense in the story and they force the plot along. That's why The Conjuring 1 and 2 are just amazing. I love those movies. I'm looking forward to a 3. Did not watch The Nun or anything like that. No. I think I saw Annabelle. Because those were based on true stories and they felt real and it wasn't forced. Because everyone was like, oh, Keith, you got to watch The Conjuring. It's really good. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I saw part two first, and I was like, oh, this is great. Went back and watched part one. Oh, this is great. I'm like, oh, they were right. It was the hype. But I digress. Okay, so The Witching Season. Like I said, Amazon Prime series I watched. Okay. It stars Michael Bailiff, or Obaloff, James Morris, and Haley Nebaker. Or Nebaker, if I'm saying the name right. So the first episode, it's called Killer on the Loose. So an escaped killer lurks in the shadows of an isolated home on Halloween night. So I'm watching it, and, you know, you see this person, and, you know, she's just running. She's just, you know, you could just tell she's terrified. And, you know, she's just trying to hide. And I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. And then, you know, she finally finds a place to hide. And for whatever reason, though, she doesn't lock the door when she finds this place. And I'm saying to myself, okay, you're on the run. You should be locking the door. So I don't know what that's about. And, you know, eventually, you know, you see this person like walking around and they have a jumpsuit on. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, okay, here it comes. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is going to be quick and easy, easy peasy. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so far I'm not really feeling this. This seems really predictable, typical, stereotypical, formulaic. You're rushing the plot again. Not feeling it. And the person comes inside the apartment. And you can see the person's wearing something on his face. But I can't tell what it is. And next thing you know, the person, he's got a big knife. She's freaked out. She's hiding in the apartment. Hiding in the house. And she just want to make a noise. And, you know, she puts her hand over her mouth because she doesn't want him to hear her breathing. You know, and that type of stuff is suspenseful. And I got to say, I don't know what it is about horror films that we love so much. I don't know why we like to be scared. Maybe because we think that we can't be. Are we daring you to scare us? I mean, I'd love to get into the psychology of how the whole horror movie genre got started. And I'm thinking about this right now. Had I thought about this before today, I would have like done some research on it, and so we could talk about it. You know, some people are like, "Oh, I don't like horror films. I get it, too violent, too gory." It's not for everyone, but it truly is an art form, especially when these stories are written well. And I got to tell you, I think the first time I knew of a horror film was probably The Exorcist in the 70s. And as a kid, I compartmentalized that. And then it kind of snuck up on me, or crept up on me later on regular television with Rod Serling. That's a name from the blast from the past. Rod Serling, y'all, yes, from The Twilight Zone and Night Gallery. This was a man with this jet black, like, kind of dark hair. He's doing black and white television, and he's telling you these stories, these crazy, weird stories of things that just go wrong with people. And, you know, it's just a whole different way of storytelling. And it just seems like The Twilight Zone. And then when he did Night Gallery later, and that one was in color, Twilight Zone started off in black and white, and I believe it may have went to color later before it ended. But by the time you got to Night Gallery, things got even darker. You know, people hallucinating, seeing things, seeing monsters, saying, hey, the monsters aren't real. I mean, saying, hey, I saw that, and people around you like, no, you're seeing stuff. And then the question is, was he or she really hallucinating, or was it really what they thought it was? So with this episode, Killer on the Loose, like I said, you know, so far the setup, I'm just like, okay, she's running, she gets in the house, doesn't lock the door, but then you see the doorknob turn. And okay, it's a house. So more than likely, you know, and it's her first time in the house, we're gonna go with that, you know, and give her that type of leeway. So if she doesn't really know the house, she wouldn't know whether or not there's a back door. Because, you know, especially old school houses, only one way in, one way out. Get it. Unless you have a backyard. Well, I mean, with a backyard and a patio, then there's another way out. So you see the doorknob turn. And, of course, that's the scary thing that we like to see. I like it. And you're like, oh, who is it? You know, is it her mom? Is it her dad? I mean, is it the killer? Is it the cops? You know, because you don't know who's going to be on the door, on the other side of the door. Door opens up. Like I said, you see a guy in overalls. He's got a long machete knife. You see he's wearing a mask, but you don't know what the mask is. So, and then all of a sudden, you see what the mask is. And it's a Jason Voorhees mask. It's, you know, it's a hockey mask. I shouldn't say Jason Voorhees mask from Friday the 13th. He's known, he's famous for wearing that mask as a killer. But let's not forget, folks, that's a very common professional NHL hockey mask used, I guess, for face protection. So the puck doesn't hit you and, you know, just protect your face. So I'm seeing this guy with the knife. He's got the overalls on. And I'm like, oh, all right. So this killer is just what? He's a unimaginative, predictable, cliche killer. I'm like, so far, witching season, you're taking a big L. Not feeling the episode. Now, did it get kind of interesting because she was hiding and making sure that he didn't see her? Yes. That got interesting. But then there was a moment there that got on my nerves too, because she's hiding like right next to the TV stand. Like, she's kind of behind it, but she's not. She's like to the side of the TV. And he's like standing right next to the TV and he doesn't see her. And she's got her hand over her mouth and she's looking terrified. Now, the look she's giving is priceless. Her acting was great. Don't seem to know. Wish I knew what her name was, and I can't. I don't see it. Doesn't even really give me that info. But let's see what we can do about that, party people. So, the witching season. IMDb. Alright, let's see. Because we need that cast and crew. I want to give you that information. Okay. But they're going to the cast right now. Okay, so I guess I'm going to say it looks like she's Haley Nebaker or Nebaker, and they just list her as girl. But let me, okay, no picture. So that's not good. No. One second, folks. I'm trying to get that information for you, because I'd love to give you the cast, their names. If that stuff's important, so you know. So you can get an idea, because you may have seen this person before in something else, you know? Let's see. Okay, yeah, they're going to need to add their name. I mean, add their faces. Because it makes a big difference. So, I don't know if this person is, because I'm not getting, let's see. So I don't know if her name was Jamie in the episode, or played by Emily Brodzinski, or if it's just the girl played by Haley Nebaker. So, well, hold on. There's a Carly Brodzinski, though, too. Let's see. Who plays Whitney. So, you don't really get the girl's name when you're watching this episode. Okay. Yeah, I see her. So, yeah, the actress's name is Carly Brodzinski. That is her name. In real life, and on the episode, her name was Whitney, apparently. Okay. So, yeah, her name is Whitney. So, like I said, you know, the look that she's giving, you know, she's hiding, like, to the side slash behind the TV stand in the living room, and she's, like, she's kneeled down. I mean, she's huddled up, almost in the fetal position, almost with her hands over her mouth, because she doesn't want to make a noise, so you won't see her. So that part was really cool to see. Her expression and her acting was great. But that scene to me kind of got on my nerves, because I'm like, I could see you from where I'm at. And he's standing, the way he was positioned, he should have seen her and he didn't. So, but I will say that I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. The way you start a story and the way you end a story are crucial. You can start a story really bad, but if you end it where you tie everything up and it all makes sense, I walk away pleased. So this episode started off as a big fail for me, and but it ended with a nice twist. So it's not an L. They get a W for win. Excellent first episode. And I say that because the ending wrapped everything up. That's all I want to say. You got to watch it, though. That episode was cool. It's the witching season, and the first episode is called Killer on the Loose. We'll talk some more after this break.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
And once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. Just wrapped up talking about the first episode of the witching season with Killer on the Loose. Pretty cool. So the second episode I watched is it's called Princess. And here's the synopsis. In search of a new beginning, Kendra and her daughter Jamie move into a quiet home in the suburbs. But something evil lurks in the basement and it isn't looking for roommates. That's actually a great synopsis, a great description of the episode. So yes, Kendra and, you know, and her daughter Jamie, they move into this place, to this home. It's a nice house, and Kendra's real happy. Her and her daughter are close, and let's just say that you know, they're looking for a fresh new start, but things are just kind of going a little strange and weird in the house, and Kendra doesn't really know what's going on. And, you know, Jamie's a young little girl. Jamie might be like around, I'm going to say 5 or 6, maybe even 7. Or she could be somewhere between 6 and 8. I'm not quite sure what her age is. But what I do know is that she has this doll that she just loves to pieces. And it's a creepy looking doll. It's just, you already know where I'm going with this, don't you? You already know. And when you're watching this the episode, you're just like, okay, this is you know, it's what's happening here, you know, what's this? Because, you know, Kendra's like, this house is great, she loves it, and she's happy that she gets to be here with her daughter, and she's you know, just you know, they play, they have fun. And everything just seems like it's kind of perfect. But, you know, like I said, different things are happening. And Kendra can't figure it out. And because she's the adult, you know, she doesn't think that her daughter Jamie's going to know what's going on. And basically, you know, Jamie, you know, winds up being kind of afraid to be alone, you know, because just things just seem kind of crazy. Kendra does see Jamie talking to her doll one day in her room. And Kendra's just thinking, oh, she's just being a kid. You know, that's what you would think if you see your kid talking to their doll. You're just like, oh, they're just being a kid. They have a furtive or fertile active imagination. Everything's fine. But we understand that when we say everything's fine, usually a lot of times everything's not fine. By the way, that's a classic record from Gene Grant, Quilchrist, Everything's Fine. That's on one of my podcasts, the music one. Shameless plug. Sorry. Anyway, But so, you know, she sees that and she goes back to, you know, being in the kitchen, just doing her thing. But when we look, we're just like, something's not right. So, but, you know, and, you know, this is a new home for Jamie. So, you know, besides her mom, all she's got is her doll, and her doll's her friend, you know. So, you know, Princess is her friend. And as the episode progresses, more strange things kind of happen. And Kendra just doesn't think anything of it, really. And, you know, Jamie's kind of feeling like, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, we can play and just have fun. And it just, you just get the impression that the spirit is just not happy that it has new tenants or people living there. But the spirit does like Jamie, but it doesn't care for her mom. And don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's just like adults. Maybe the spirit wants Jamie all to herself. And so we'll say that the doll is Princess. And what's interesting is that, you know, when you're watching this episode, there's like definitely a turning point, because you're like, you see the child has a creepy doll, and you're already thinking, okay, yeah, that doll's got to go. But Kendra's kind of oblivious about the whole thing, because she just thinks, oh, my daughter's adjusting. Her doll makes her feel comfortable. So it's all good. But, you know, let's just say the doll just definitely is not just an imaginary friend. So I'll just leave you with this. Things come to a head. And if you have, you know, evil spirits in your house, it's going to go one of two ways. And being like, you know, the single mom with your daughter. I mean, that whole scenario is just scary in itself. You know, because, and then, you know, being a single parent can be very scary anyway. So add an evil spirit to the house and it's a whole new ball game. And all I'm going to say is that, you know, the questions you have to ask yourself is, does Kendra ever find out that Jamie's doll is not imaginary? It's not an imaginary friend. Can they stay in that house? Will they leave that house? Will they survive that house? All I can say is that once again, I really like the way I like the way the storytelling gets wrapped up. I'm very impressed with that. I really am. I do like that. It's different. The pacing of the story is really cool. It's not over the top. They seem to actually play on some of the horror stereotypes. You think they're buying in or feeding into them. And then they show me every time that they're not, that they know that they're well aware of it, and they're going to take a different twist and turn for you, and you're going to like it when you see it. So I haven't finished this season, but I will before the week's up. I'm excited. I really like this show so far. I'm not going to even lie. They have impressed me with what they're doing. So I'll just say that, you know, there's definitely a turning point. And you'll have to just tune in to see what happens. But it was very intriguing. Very. I really liked it a lot. The casting, everything was great. And just how it was executed. It was, like I said, I was definitely surprised at what I saw. So I'll leave you with that on episode 2 called Princess of the Witching Season. Now, I will, so one more episode to talk about. called Not Alone. So, and it says, upon waking from a horrific nightmare, Kyle struggles to bridge the gap between his dreams and reality. So, and by the way, the Princess episode was only like 17 minutes long. Not Alone is 9 minutes long. So each episode, you don't know how long it's going to be. They go from short to long. I guess it's all about how they feel when they're writing the episode and just going with the flow of it, which is cool. So it's unpredictable. You don't know if you're going to get a half hour, 10 minutes, 15, whatever. But you just know that you're in for the ride. So with Not Alone, like I said, with Kyle, you see him sleeping. He's having a dream, and basically he has a nightmare. And you hear his alarm radio going off. But when he wakes up, it's still nighttime. And now this was cool. This was really cool. And I'm not going to lie, it creeped me out a little bit. It did. He wakes up in his bed and he looks to the right corner of his room. And you know how you have like maybe a coat hanger or something in your room to hang up your coat or your shirts? You see this black shadowy silhouette just standing there looking menacing. And Kyle's just looking at it. You know, he's sit up in his bed looking at it, just kind of like stuck and frozen, like, what the heck? Like, you know, what am I looking at? And as the viewer, you're looking at it like, what is that? You're kind of creeped out too. You know, I know everyone's had one point in their life where they're in their room and they thought they saw something that really wasn't there, but the way it looked like it could be something. Yeah, that's what's going on here. I mean, he's looking, but when you see it, you know, you're seeing like the boogeyman or something, because you're just like, that is creepy. Because like I said, you know, when I watch these TV shows or these horror movies, I'm like, scare me, I dare you. Because usually they just don't. But I can't lie, that creeped me out a little bit. It did. Until all of a sudden, you know, he's still looking at it. And all of a sudden, you know, that the black shadowy figure in the right-hand corner of his room where it's standing and looking kind of menacing. And you can't see the face, but you just see that silhouette, that shadow. The head kind of bops back, makes a noise, and he just kind of flinches. So then he goes and he gets his bat. And eventually, you know, he goes over to it and, he tries to, you know, stick up for himself. So he's got the bat, feeling a little bit more empowered, and you know, he has a swing. So I'll just say that the question you have to ask yourself is, what is he swinging at? I mean, is it all in his head? Or is he on a full-on battle right now? I mean, can you imagine waking up from a nightmare and, you know, in your bedroom and you see this figure in the corner of your room? You're like, okay, am I still dreaming? Is this figure the reason why I have a nightmare? Is somebody here to kill me? What's going on? And mind you, there's no conversation at all. The only conversation you hear is like on the radio, on his alarm radio. So he's freaked out, but, you know, he's not running away. He's trying to face his problem head on. And, you know, does he get rewarded for that or does he get punished for it? But I will say it, it was worth watching. It kind of, it messes with you, especially if you live by yourself. it was kind of creepy. Yeah, it was creepy. It was good. Yeah, it was very interesting. Like I said, I really like how they had the image in the corner of his bedroom, because it looked, I mean, when you're just like, I mean, like I said, it freaked me out. It did. I just can't even lie. I'm not going to even front on that. It did. But I was happy when I saw him get the bat, but I just can't tell you what happens from that point, because you have to see for yourself and be like I said, you know, is this person, is he just acting out, or is there a reason for the bat? Like I said, will he get rewarded for his bravery or punished for it? Tune in and check it out. But yeah, The Witching Season is on Amazon Prime. And there is, looks like 5 episodes. I've only seen the first 3. I'm looking forward to watching the last 2. And more television after this break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And once again, you're listening to GSMC Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And we just finished talking about The Witching Season on Amazon Prime, a great horror TV series. And the other one I found on Amazon Prime, like I say, I lucked out. This was really cool. I'm glad I found this stuff. Yes, it's Strange Events. And this started last year, apparently. So, and the synopsis for Strange Events is, in a world where monsters, ghosts, and other dreadful creatures are a reality, nightmares can come true, and they will. An anthology that delves into the paranormal, the bizarre, and the downright insane. No place is safe. No place is safe. I love that. I love to know who wrote all these things. I mean, who writes these descriptions. I love that. Directors are like Chris Barnes, Alessandro Frossoli, and some other people. Let's see. There's a few other directors. So now with this show, this first episode had more than one story in it. So let's start off with, let's say that. They call this one Pieces of the Heart. And when you watch it, there's this lady, she's on the phone with her boyfriend. And he's just, and she's like, look, I'm going to be fine. You know, go ahead and do your thing. So apparently I think he's at work. He can't be home. So she's by herself. And she's like, look, they haven't come around. Everything's going to be fine. So when she's having this conversation, you're thinking, okay, well, is she in a rough neighborhood? Now, who's she talking about? Who's going to come around? Well, what's going on? And he's like, well, just promise me one thing. And she's like, what? And he's like, well, you at least take one pill. So when he says that to her over the phone, you're thinking to yourself, is she having a problem sleeping at night? Well, what's going on? Maybe she needs a sleeping pill. Maybe she's taking too many before. Or is she on Prozac or Ambien? What's so you don't really know. So she's like, okay, yes, I will. So he hangs up. But you know, and you can tell he's very affectionate and caring in his voice. So definitely her boyfriend. She walks past the refrigerator. You see a picture of the two of them together on the, you know, on the refrigerator. So basically, I mean, that's it for that part of the scene. So well, you see her in the bathroom next. And very pretty girl, I guess brunette. And she's opens up the medicine cabinet, takes these pills out. She looks at them all. Now, mind you, she promised her boyfriend that she would take at least one of them, right? So you know what she does. She decides to throw them in the toilet and flush them. Yeah, that was real smart. So my first thing is, why would you lie to your boyfriend? And why would you do that? Now, mind you, I have no idea what's going to happen next. I really don't. But I'm intrigued. So she starts her bath water. She wants to take a bath because she's at home by herself, you know. So then she starts to hear a noise. And she looks up, stops the bath, goes out to the hallway to see what's going on, you know. trying to figure out what it is. And it's nothing. But actually, when she's in the hallway, she has this really bad feeling. And then you see this close-up, like, coming, the camera's, like, walking up to her from behind. You know, like when a killer is about to stab their victim in a horror film or a slasher film. And she's scared to turn around. And then she turns around and, it's like I said, it's nothing. So she goes back to the bathroom, starts to water again. And then this time she sees someone walk by. They're from down the hallway. So now she's freaking out, like, okay, well, what's going on with this? So basically what we find out is that there is someone in the apartment with her. But I'm just not going to tell you who it is. All I will say is that she's freaked out by what she sees. And, you know, she's trying to, she's, how do I say this? She thought she was safe and she realizes that she's not. And, you know, she wishes she can close her eyes and make everything go away. But that's not the case. And it gets really interesting from that point on. I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is, who was in the apartment with her? You know, and what's going to happen? And, you know, it's just it was a very interesting episode. Once again, the ending really intrigued me a lot. I mean, should I tell you more? I'm just trying to, I don't want to spoil it for you. But it was a different type of, I'd never seen this particular type of story before in a horror series setting. So I can definitely say that much. But Becca Adams is the one she's the star of this episode. You don't get her name, which is cool too. Like, a lot of times you don't even know these people's names. They're just people. And I think one of the cool things about that is because they do that because they want you to feel like, you know, the writers and the show producers, that this could be you, you know, this could be anybody. Sometimes you don't even need a name. It's just more symbolic, you know, that this could happen to anyone, and that can make it even more scary, or scarier in that regard. More scary. I like scarier better. So, yeah, Alone is a trip. It was cool. It was different. This one, once again, like I said earlier in the podcast, that the witching season. So even with Strange Events, once again, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's a formula here and it's going to be kind of corny, but then it wasn't. Cause my thing is, okay, why is she throwing away those pills when she told her husband, her boyfriend or her husband, whoever he was, that she's going to take one. So from that point on, it just gets crazy. Like I said, you have to tune in to see, how it ends. You don't see it coming, but I enjoyed it. So that's the first part of the episode. Second part of the episode for Strange Events is, it's called, the second part you see these two guys and they're in the car and they're driving. There's a big size guy and a smaller size guy. The smaller size guy's driving, the bigger size guy's in the passenger seat, and he's got his cell phone. He's showing this picture of this naked girl, and he's like, oh, I can't wait, man. Can't wait to meet up and hook up with her. You know, we met her online. She's real cool and she seems to be down. And of course, the guy driving, who just seems to be a little bit more even keeled. It's just like, I don't know about this, man. Are you sure about this? This, I don't know, man. You know, this could be a total scam. He goes, oh, no, man. It's everything's cool. I haven't heard back from her, but I know she gave me the directions to her place. We'll meet up and we're going to hook up. It's going to be great. So basically, it's set up. These two young guys are just looking, you know, they're looking, you know, to have sex with a beautiful naked woman they met online. I mean, what could go wrong with that, right? Because that happens every day in you know, young men's lives. Because, of course, it doesn't. Because it's like a unicorn that just kind of doesn't usually exist that much, you know. Well, I guess it can happen sometimes, but it's just not, that's just not usually the case. Well, anyway, so they're driving around and he's not sure what the address is. And the you know, his friend, the smaller guy who's driving is just like, where are we going, man? He goes, I don't know about this. He goes, dude, everything's going to be fine. It's right here. I'm telling you, it's right here. So they park the car. And then the next scene, the house they pull up in front of, you see this family in the kitchen. And mom, dad, brother, and a priest. And you're like, okay, so what's this? And they're like, oh, you know, we want you to save her, Father. Please save her, please. And then, you know, and then the father's like, you know, basically I'll take care of it. So the father slash pastor or the priest starts walking down the hallway and he's spraying, I guess, holy water all over the house. And he goes into one room and then out, and then he goes in another room. And as you see him go in one room, the two guys who parked their cars, so they come to the front door and they're like, oh, I guess we just walk on in. She's waiting on us. And I'm like thinking to myself, really? Seriously? You're going to pull up to someone's house who you don't know and you're just going to open the door. You're not going to ring the doorbell. You're not going to knock. Okay. All right. So, of course, you know, being the rocket scientist that these two guys are, they go inside. And like I said, you see, you know, the priest going in and out of different rooms, you know, waving like holy water or sprinkling it, apparently. It's either water or like dust, I mean, or holy mist. I'm going to say it's holy water. We're going to go with holy water. All right. So as he goes into one room and out of the other, you see the two guys. They walk into the bedroom and they see a girl. She's tied up. She goes, oh, cool. You're ready for us. And she's like, yeah. You know, and this is, you know, a pretty girl with dark, short, dark hair. She's tied up. And she sees them. And she's like, oh, yeah, just untie me. I'll give you a good time. And, of course, the big guy who was a passenger who had the cell phone with the naked picture of the girl on the phone. Now, mind you, you would think that the naked lady he had on the phone, that picture would match the lady in the bed. But once he sees this girl tied up in bed, he's not even thinking about that. Of course he's not, right? His brain already went to mush. So he's like, all right, cool. So he's getting ready to untie her. He goes, man, it's cold in here. And then his buddy, the driver, the younger, the smaller guy, he's just like, hey, man, no, man, something's not right. It's way too cold in here. This don't feel right, man. He goes, look around, bro. She got all these crosses here, man. Something ain't right. It's like there's an exorcism going on or something. And she's like, just untie me. Everything will be fine. And, you know, the bigger guy, you know, the horny guy with the cell phone is like, oh, man, everything's cool. So he gets ready to untie her. And then the family walks in like, who are you? And they're like, oh, who are you? And then she starts speaking in that demonic voice from the possession that she's had. She's possessed. And they're trying to perform an exorcism, you know, like you know, his friend thought. So they freak out. They back up. And then she starts, you know, wiggling in the bed. And next thing you know, she gets free. She gets one arm free from one of the restraints, and she waves her hand and it pushes the two guys back into the room. So they're freaked out watching this, like, "Whoa, this is not what we signed up for." And then the brother comes to her and he's like, "Stop, you know, don't stop what you're doing." And so she starts attacking the family and the priest. She gets unloose. I mean, she gets loosened from her restraints, and it just goes crazy from there. So it's just funny because these guys are looking to get laid and they got something totally different than what they bargained for. And once again, the way it ends is just... Yeah, I really like these two shows. I like Strange Events, and I like The Witching Season, and they're both on Amazon Prime. Looks like Strange Events has 6 episodes. I just did the first one, which is 2 inside one, and I'm digging it. So there's some dark humor within this episode. There's more dark humor in this one than there was the first half of the episode with these two guys who are looking to get lucky. And it's just, can you imagine, you know, thinking you're going to meet up and hook up with a chick and I guess have a booty call, and it's an exorcism instead with the whole family and everything. And, you know, you might get sucked in and go somewhere you don't want to go. And, you know, so yeah, it was real cool. So definitely check out Strange Events and The Witching Season on Amazon Prime. And we'll talk about the reboot of Charmed after this break.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. Just finished talking about The Witching Season and Strange Events on Amazon Prime. Great, scary horror TV series to watch. And now let's talk about the reboot of Charmed. So here's the synopsis of it. After the tragic death of their mother, Mel and Maggie learn they have an older sister, Macy, and discover they all exhibit impossible new abilities. That's a great way to describe the first episode and the show itself. So the original Charmed had Holly Marie Combs, Alyssa Milano, and starred Shannon Doherty. She was the main star up for 3 years. Then she got fired from the show, basically forced out. Alyssa Milano took over as the main star, and they became, and their names were Piper, Prue, and Phoebe. And Rose McGowan came in as a fourth sister and took over. And I kept watching the show because I was a loyal fan of the show. And I love supernatural stuff and science fiction stuff. And Julian McMahon was also on Charmed. He played Baltazar. So that was a breakout role for him, too, on that show. So, but I got to tell you, once Shannon Doherty left that show, it just went downhill. Yes, I said it. It went downhill once Shannon Doherty left that show. So I never watched her now until 1-0, but I enjoyed her on Charmed. And they used to use a Love Spit Love's version of The Smiths' How Soon Is Now for the intro. Very cool. That was another thing that pulled me into the show. So, and basically, those were the names of the girls. It lasted for a while. Kelly Cuoco also was on Charmed towards the end before she landed The Big Bang Theory. So that was a breakout role for her as well. So yeah, there were some defining moments. So now with the new series, as you see, the girls look different. So looks like the two sisters are they are of Hispanic origin. And I'm talking about Maggie and Mel. And then they find out they have an older sister, and she is biracial. She looks like she has a black father, but they all have the same mom. So now there was, you know, I didn't know how to take all of that because the original series, the original three sisters all had the same parents. And then when Shannon Doherty's character Prue left the show, they brought in Rose McGowan, who was their half-sister. So, but now they're starting off this show, two sisters with the same parents, and then one sister, the oldest, with a different father. So, and there's no mention of the men, of the fathers on the show. Well, there is for one, but you'll have to tune in to find out about that for that one person. One more synopsis to give you more of a detail of the show, of the new version of it, the reboot. Three daughters, firebrand social justice warrior Melanie Melvera, fun-loving Maggie, and brilliant geneticist Macy find out that they're actually powerful witches, as was their mother. It's a lot to take in, but ultimately the sisters accept their new destiny as the charmed ones. So that's cool. So that's even more a definitive way to describe what's going on. So in the first episode, you see their mom talking to the two daughters, and the daughters have to, they have their own lives. They're adults. Melanie is a teacher at a college, and Maggie is going to college, and she wants to pledge a sorority. So this is what their lives are. And now what's different is that, you know, they change it up, like I said. So these two girls, they're definitely Hispanic. I'm not quite sure if their mom is. I suppose that she is. Like I said, we don't see their father whatsoever. So don't even know what's going on with him, whether he's alive or not. But we see one of the beginning scenes is the mom on the phone, and she's talking to someone because she works at the university as well. And she's talking about one of the teachers, I guess a male teacher, who you find out within the episode has been accused of sexual harassment, and they want to make sure that he's receives the proper punishment. And, you know, the mother is not budging on that. So the girls go away to perspective things. Maggie goes to her sorority party, and Mel is doing her own thing. I think she might go see her girlfriend. And as they're gone, you know, you see like these birds or crows flying around. And they one comes into their mom's room upstairs, and you hear her say, "I have three." And that's all you hear her say. And then the next thing you know, the girls come back home and they find their mom. She died. She's dead. And you know they're definitely devastated about it. And then Macy, who's their older sister, who doesn't know them, doesn't even know anything about any of this. She's walking with this guy she knows, I guess a colleague of hers, walking down the street that her mom's house is on. And for whatever reason, something tells her to stop and look at that house. She has a feeling about it. So she investigates, and then she later comes back to that home, and the girls are there. They open up the door. And they're like, "Well, who are you?" And she's like, I think my mother lived in this home. And she pulls out a picture, and it's their mom holding her as a little baby in front of the house. So, of course, the girls are in shock because they never knew they had an older sister. It's just always been Maggie and Melanie. So they have to take all that in. Now, mind you, there's also... I want to talk about the cast. So, Melanie is played by Melanie Diaz. The older sister, Macy Vaughn, is played by Madeline Mantock. And Sarah Jeffrey plays Maggie Vera, the younger sister. Rupert Evans plays Harry Greenwood, who is the head of the women's studies department. And Melanie, who works at the college, resents him for that. And you find out, so they don't get along. You find out after their mom dies that, well, guess what? If you don't like me before, wait till you find out who I really am. You find out that Harriet Greenwood, played by Rupert Evans, is actually a white lighter. So in the Charmed universe, white lighters are kind of like angels. They're males who have powers, and they're sworn to protect witches. And he's assigned to the Charmed ones there. So there may have been a Charmed ones before, and of course we know the original series, yeah. But if you're the Charmed ones, you're the three, the power of three. These witches are basically like, they're like superheroes of witchcraft, basically. They're mighty. They can do what other witches can't do when they combine their powers. So now, because they were born witches, their mom binded their powers when they were little girls, so they wouldn't be able to use them until the proper time, until they were adults, and the mother could have a conversation with them about who they are. She died before she could tell them about their powers. She died before she could tell them about their older sister. So all that's all drama. So now, mind you, Mel already doesn't like Harry because she's like, why is this man in charge of the female studies or women's studies at this college? It should be a woman. I get that. I get that. I mean, if I put myself in her shoes, I might say that, yeah, like, what is that about? That, yeah, okay, I get it. And now you're telling me that he's a part of my life, you know, in a whole different way. So because the girls don't know they're witches, but their powers start to manifest. Like, for example, Mel has the power to freeze time, to stop time. On the old school show, that was what Piper could do. And Maggie can hear people's thoughts. That's her power. And Macy has the power of telekinesis. So Prue, who was Shannon Doherty, she had the power of telekinesis. And Phoebe, who basically is like Maggie's alternate or doppelganger, could hear people's voice, could hear their thoughts. So, you know, Harry tells them, look, you're the Charmed ones. There's something you need to know. You're all witches. And of course, because Macy is the geneticist, she's a scientist, she doesn't believe in magic. She's like, no, there's a reason for this. This isn't real. There's got to be an explanation. And Harry's like, no, there isn't. This is who you are. And this is the book that that will help you, the Book of Shadows. This has all kinds of spells and potions in it. So, because initially he had them all tied up in chairs, and he wanted to kind of gently ease them into who they really are, because they had no idea that this world existed. And I liked the show. I was ambivalent. I didn't know what I was walking into. And then, you know, I didn't know if I liked the idea that the older sister is half black and that the mom didn't raise her, and what's that story. But I guess there's more to that story, because you're asking yourself, well, did she give her up for adoption? I mean, what is that? But all we know is that the oldest child was not raised with the mother. So there's issues there. But there might be a situation. I had to think more about it. I'm like, well, okay, well, this mom's a witch. Maybe the father didn't want his child being raised a witch, so he just bounced. You know, maybe that's what it was. Don't know. So only time will tell with that. But the episode is really good, and these girls find out that, you know, nothing's what it seems, and that some people who you think might just be jerks might actually be demons, and they might be on your campus, or they might be your next-door neighbor. So that's the cool thing about the show. And then one of the reasons why Maggie is able to listen to people's thoughts, because she's very sensitive. She's empathic. So that's why she's able to hear people and connect with them that way. And Macy is very strong, very organized, and a very strong will. So, I mean, and then Harry has a better way of explaining why the three have the distinct powers that they have, and why they're more akin to their personalities, and that's why they manifest in the way they do. And you can hear that in the first episode, the pilot. So now the second episode, which was cool, is that basically, you know, the girls start messing with the Ouija board. So in the first episode, there's a timeline they have on whether or not they're going to accept their powers as witches and become the Charmed ones. And all three have to accept or it won't work. And if they don't do it, the fate of the world could perish. So basically, they're like humanity's last hope, basically. Three women. I think that's awesome. So And of course, you know, Maggie, she wants to be in the sorority. She likes being social. Melanie's very kind of aggressive and assertive. So the difference is, like I said, you know, the ethnicity is a different part, a different take on it. But also, the personalities are a little bit different too. You know, Melanie's dating a cop, like I said, so she's gay. So that's different. But now it's interesting, and I'm watching it, and I'm wondering where they're going to go, because you have to be careful with this. She's, you know, she's this lesbian woman who is very assertive and aggressive, and that's fine. And then she seems to have like this antagonist relationship with men. So I'm like, you got to be careful. Don't fall into a stereotype with that character. So, and that's my only concern with her character so far. Macy is very strong and stoic and subdued, very clinical. She's very guarded. And, you know, I guess you get that because, you know, she's got some mom issues because she doesn't know why her mom abandoned her. Now, all of a sudden, she's got two siblings. So now it's all an adjustment for her. And it's an adjustment for them because Mel always thought that she was the oldest, and now she's finding out that she's not. So the chemistry between the three girls is cool, though. I do like it. They work very well together. I'm enjoying the acting. So by the end of the first episode, you see them playing with the Ouija board. They contact their mom, and their mom tells them through the Ouija board, don't trust Harry. And then Harry pops up the minute they say his name. And that's how they got. So then that, there's the issue with that. That's how that episode, you know. So that's how that episode ends. So I can tell you that because, you know, the show is called Charm. So, you know, they're going to be three witches. So you pretty much figure out, you already know that they accepted the call to be witches. So that's not really spoiling it for you. But so then the second episode is, you know, now they're like, well, can we trust Harry? You know, does he have a motive? Because, you know, this is all new to them. You know, they barely know him. So they don't know if he has an ulterior motive or not. All they know is they miss their mom. Macy wants to talk to their mom. But once again, Macy's still a scientist. So she tries to have logic in everything she does. Now she has to balance being a witch with being a scientist. I think that's really cool because you never get that type of writing when it comes to supernatural beings, especially like with a witch. So I think that's interesting. And then, you know, Maggie is this, you know, social butterfly. She wants to stay in a sorority. She wants to be a part of this other sisterhood. She's got to balance the sorority's life with her sisters. And, you know, and then, you know, she has to balance, you know, now she has to adjust to having the power where she can read people's minds, especially like her ex-boyfriend, you know, so she's got to deal with all of that. And then, you know, Melanie kind of has like trust issues. So, and her girlfriend, who's this police officer, you know, they're on again, off again. So all that's going on. But yeah, they definitely know they want to bring their mom back if they can, because they want more clarification. They want more clarity and understanding of who they are now and this whole new supernatural world that they're dealing with. So, you know, they have to figure out, okay, well, can we trust him? So there's so much more I want to tell you about Charmed, and maybe I will in the next podcast, because I watched the first three episodes and they're good. So I was hesitant, and I still want to see how they're going to play the whole Macy, the older sister who's half black and they're Latino, and why she was abandoned by her mom. Was it because she was a witch? Was there other things going on? So this is all really interesting, and then like I said, with Mel's character, very, you know, she is a firebrand. She's definitely a feminist, and I think that's cool. But my only concern is I love TV shows about strong women. I think that's amazing, and we need more of that. I just want to see that there's always still a balance, because some shows will have strong men, and then the women might come across being kind of weak. That's not good. And I don't want to see the other side where you have strong women and weak men. It's always about the balance in this world and this life and this universe. So it's all about balancing things out. So these women are distinct. The chemistry is great. Their characters are very intriguing. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with their enemies and how they deal with men, whether they're romantic or friends or familial. So, but I'm in for the ride. But it's definitely worth checking out. You should check it out. Shannon Doherty had some great things positively, in a positive way to say about the reboot. And I think that was really cool. So, and maybe she might even pop up on the show. That'd be nice. But it's time. Good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. Once again, you've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast. Happy Halloween to you. This is my supernatural edition with The Witching Season on Amazon Prime. And Strange Events on Amazon Prime, and Charmed on the CW network. Watch all three shows. They're definitely it's a cool way into the supernatural world. If you're in the Halloween mood, you should check it out. These are all fun to watch, and Charmed is an ongoing series now, and I am excited to see where the show goes. I do like the characters. I just want to make sure that that it's just going to be really balanced. So, because you want everybody to watch, you know, when you write a good show, you want people to be like, oh, this is really fun. I like it. You know, so that's just my take. You know, if I were to write something for television, I want the whole family to watch, not just the mom, not just the dad, not just the son, everybody. That'd be my goal. How can I bring everybody in and do it with integrity? But I like it so far. So we'll see what happens. And I probably will talk to you some more about the second episode and the third episode next week. All right, and once again, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe, thank you for listening. I appreciate you all. Hope you had a good time. I know I did. Until next time, I'll see you somewhere out in space.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.